I had a rare opportunity this week, seeing as how I'm not going to be preaching next Sunday as I had intended, that I actually had a choice of sermons to preach today. Could I preach the one on compassion that I had planned on offering you today? Or should I jump ahead to next Sunday's sermon about embracing urgency for Lent? Well, we're going to be talking about compassion and what that means in terms of living the Christian life a great deal this coming summer. So I thought maybe that sermon could be put on hold, because there were a few things I wanted to say about urgency. Actually, what I really want to do is I want to offer you the opportunity today to give up procrastination for Lent. And I do that because one of my greatest failings in life is that I am a world-class procrastinator, and that I want to encourage you to do as I say, not as I do, and in the process maybe help myself to be less of a procrastinator. Let me begin by telling you a story about a man named Tom Shipp. Actually, it's a story about his funeral. In the Dallas metropolitan area, there's a wonderful, energetic United Methodist congregation with the delightful name of Lover's Lane United Methodist Church. And the pastor there was Tom Shipp. And Tom was known as a pastor with just incredible skills. He was a wonderful preacher. He was a dedicated administrator, doing all those things that ministers really hate to do, but did them well. And he had a marvelous pastoral touch. He had a heart attack at a church meeting, of all places, and died. And the sanctuary was filled for his funeral. And on the program that day was a man who used to be a member at that congregation, a doctor who had struggled mightily with his alcoholism. And when it came time for him to speak, he stood at the microphone and said, "I waited too long. 15 years ago, my life had bottomed out. My life was a wreck. And it was Tom Shipp who helped me put my life back together. It was he who helped me to turn my life around." And he went on to tell the story of all the ways that Tom had helped him, including getting him involved in AA and a number of other ways that Pastor Shipp and the congregation had helped him to be successful in life. And he said, "I have always meant to go and tell him how much I appreciated what he had done for me. And I never quite got around to doing it. And as a result, I have to tell you about it today rather than telling him about it." He said, "I procrastinated. I waited too long, and I lost the chance to thank the one person who made all the difference in my life." Well, now, in my situation of being a world-class procrastinator, I understand what that man was saying. Perhaps there are numbers of others of us here today that can also understand the pain and the frustration of that moment. Just stop and think about it. I wonder in our lives how many important emails have never been sent? How many important phone calls have never been made? How many important I'm sorry's have never been spoken? How many important thank yous have never been uttered? How many I love yous still remain to be said? How many invitations from God have been ignored? This story that Daniel read for us a moment ago about this correspondence from Paul to Timothy, one of his co-workers in ministry, speaks to this situation. It may sound like not sound like it, but it does. You see, in this brief passage, Paul writes to Timothy and said, winter's approaching. Will you come visit me as soon as possible? And he makes some simple requests. Bring my winter clothes, bring my books, and above all else, bring my Bible. Well, he doesn't quite use those words, but that's what he's asking for. And in fact, these are some of the last words that we hear from Paul. This is among his last writings that we know of. And as a result, we don't have a continuing correspondence between Paul and Timothy. So we really have no idea whether Timothy was able to respond as quickly as Paul was asking for, or whether he too, like some of the other followers that Paul names, got busy with other things and didn't stay with Paul and didn't do what he was asking. There was a great sermon preached once about this scripture. Because it's an incomplete scripture, it lends itself to preachers taking it and dreaming about it. What if, preaching a what if sermon? And one of the great sermons on this text was preached. Actually, it was preached 38 times. The pastor at First Presbyterian Church in downtown Pittsburgh, a church I've worshipped in from time to time, he preached that sermon once, and the church session, their church council, voted that he should preach that sermon once a year, every year, for as long as he was there. And he served that church for 38 years and preached it. And what his sermon was a far more eloquent elaboration than mine will be on that simple question. Did Timothy procrastinate or did he go? And he used to ask the congregation at the end of that sermon, what would you have done? Would you have gone quickly or would you have made excuses and waited till spring? Remember, Paul says, please come before winter, or would you have waited till spring? Well, I think there's another way to ask that question. And actually, there's two ways. And the first way is to say, what is it that you need to do in your life that you've been putting off doing? What important thing in your life have you been putting off doing? And the second way to ask that question is, what is God asking you to do that you're hesitating to do? What I want you to do is consider those two questions while I perhaps prime the pump with a few observations. The first observation is this. Last week we talked about embracing forgiveness for Lent. This just follows up on that. My first observation is, if you need to say I'm sorry to someone, I would suggest that you stop procrastinating and do it now. If you're at odds with some other person, don't let those difficulties fester and poison your spirit or paralyze your soul. For your sake, as well as theirs, go fix it. Go and make peace. If you need to say, I'm sorry, do it this Lent. Second thought. If you need to say, I love you to someone, but you haven't said it, do it now. The most tragic thing in the world is to love someone and not to tell them. There's a story that goes about a man who loved his wife greatly. She died suddenly, and in his talking with their pastor, he tells the pastor, "Oh, I loved her so much, and once I almost told her." Men, does that ring any bells? Don't let the opportunity to go to pass. Don't procrastinate. For your sake and theirs, go and say, I love you. Then the third one is this, that if you need to say yes to God, do it now. The reality is that God openly claims us. God openly seeks us out. God openly reaches out to us intentionally, graciously, relentlessly, sacrificially. God offers a relationship with us. And yet we so often are reluctant to willingly accept it, hesitant to accept God's relationship. For your sake, go and do it now, this Lent. Jim Moore, for many years, was the pastor at St. Luke's United Methodist Church in Houston, Texas. It's one of the largest Methodist churches in the United States and a marvelous congregation. And they do things a little differently there than we do here. And frequently, appointments of pastors are made across state lines. They move pastors around based on who they think would be best for that church. And at one point in his ministry, Jim was serving a church in Shreveport, Louisiana, but he got word that he was on the short list of candidates to become the new pastor at St. Luke's Church in Houston. And while that was going on, he got a phone call from an old friend, an older man, an older minister, who was part of that Texas conference. And he says, Jim, I'm not in the business of giving people advice. He said, but can I give you some advice tonight? And Jim said, yes, please, go ahead. And he said, this is what he said to Jim. He said, if they call you about St. Luke's Church, don't ask what the salary is. Don't ask to see the parsonage. He said, in fact, don't ask anything. Just say yes. And Jim goes on to write and says, well, the phone call did come. I didn't ask any questions. I just said yes, and it made all the difference in my life. I would suggest to you that this Lent, God is offering you love. And the best advice I can give you is, don't ask any questions. Just say yes and accept it. I would also suggest to you that this Lent, God is calling you to do something great in His name. Maybe it's within this church by taking on some new responsibility. Maybe it's in our community by becoming a part of one of our groups in the church that offers service, whether it's starting to help with the work we're doing at Rosemary School, or whether it's caring for people at the prison, or some other activity that's making the difference in the lives of people in our community. Or maybe it's a larger, project with larger scope. On Tuesday evening, Jen Murdoch, the new pastor up at Los Gatos Church, will be here for our soup supper, and she's going to be talking about why she invests a huge amount of time in working in Haiti post-earthquake, and inviting us to consider how we might best respond to those. I hope you will all be there for that dinner that evening. But if you sense that God is calling you to do something, don't ask any questions this Lent. Just say yes and give God your hands. Why are you putting it off? Why are you dragging your feet? What's holding you up? Someone once asked me. What's keeping you from doing it now? Doing it today? Doing it this moment? Accepting God's love? Accepting God's call? And I ask you the same thing this morning. I invite you not to put it off any longer. I invite you to remember that life is too short and too fragile to be a procrastinator. Don't ask any questions. Just do it. Which leads me to pray this for us. Will you join me? Lord, give each one of us a sense of urgency about our relationship with you. And please, God, give it to us right now. Amen.